Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I hope you're all having a wonderful morning so far. I am very happy to be before you today to share in the joy of my bat mitzvah. In my perspective, this is more than just a tradition. It's a public proclamation of my dedication to the faith and to Adonai. My presence on this stage is proof that I am now moving from childish and foolish ways and replacing them with the ways of God and His plans for me. Adonai has been very important to me throughout my life, and today I am making a statement that I want to continue and improve my walk with Him and help some of His other children, including in this congregation. All of this would not be possible without the amazing people that surround me. I would like to thank my family for being very supportive of me and being very helpful in the process of preparing for this special day. Thank you to my friends here at Beth Shekinah and those outside of it for providing me with continuous love, encouragement, and for using your time and talents to make this day happen and add extra excitement. I also happily thank Rabbi Cal for giving me this opportunity in the first place and for teaching me with kindness and patience. I hope you enjoy my message today and leave with something to think about and a cheerful heart. Let's begin. In Leviticus, there are five offerings specifically explained. Today I'll be focusing on the burnt offering as it was read earlier in my Torah portion. First, I will be giving you a little bit of a description of each offering so that you have a better understanding of my topic. The first offering is the burnt sacrifice. The burnt sacrifice required a male animal from your herd or cattle, flock, or sheep and goats without blemish. It was used to make atonement for an individual. The sins of this person were symbolically placed on the head of the sacrifice. The burnt sacrifice is the only sacrifice that is entirely consumed by fire. The second offering is the grain offering. A small amount of the grain offering was put on the altar as a memorial to honoring God for providing a harvest. The rest of the offering was given to the priests. The grain offering was given at times of new harvest, such as Passover and Shavuot. The third offering is the peace offering. In the peace offering, only the blood and fat were burnt. The peace offerings were times of feasting, drinking, talking, singing, and enjoying the salvation which God had given them. The fourth is a mixture of the sin and trespass offerings. When a person sinned unintentionally, breaking any commandments, they would offer an animal sacrifice called a sin offering. The trespass offering gave the option of two birds if you didn't have an animal, and grain if you didn't have birds. The trespass offering is a way of making restitution. If the trespass required a person to restore what was taken from someone else, one-fifth of what was taken was to be added to the restitution. Today when we sin and God or a fellow believer points out a sin of ours we committed and did not know about, let us not neglect the free opportunity to repent and ask for forgiveness. And the fifth, the burnt offering. It was meant to keep the fire burning on the altar all night long and to begin the peace offerings in the morning. There is no animal sacrifice included in the burnt offering. The law of the burnt offering instructs the priest to be responsible for the fire. There are at least three reasons for this offering. One, the original fire on the altar came from God. Two, perpetual fire symbolized perpetual worship of Adonai. And three, perpetual fire symbolized the continuous need for atonement and reconciliation with God, which was the purpose of offerings and sacrifices. These descriptions give a brief explanation of what sacrifice and offering was like in the Old Testament, many including the blood of an animal and all with meticulous procedures. The sacrifice in the Old Testament are more physical and are needed to be brought continuously. In the New Testament, we see a new kind of sacrifice being presented. Yeshua became a living sacrifice, submitted to the power of Adonai as he grew, and later became the blood sacrifice for all people who needed atonement and restitution. Through him, we have the free gift of salvation. Now, most of you know we can receive this gift by admitting we believe that Yeshua is a sacrificed lamb who has paid the price for our sins. But is believing all we should need to do? Is there nothing we can give in return as a symbol of thanks? Is there a way we can prove our faith to Adonai and proclaim our love for Yeshua? He has been our blood sacrifice, but we still have the responsibility to make our offering to him. Well, there are a few things you could sacrifice, such as worldly objects, in order to further increase your flame for God. But while you definitely can do that, why not give yourself, including your body, mind, heart, soul, strength, and all of your being, as one wholehearted sacrifice? I will now read Romans 12, 1-2. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. These verses explain how presenting yourself as an offering is better than just any sacrifice, whether small or large. When you give your own life, it has a deeper meaning, and there is less opportunity for an act or a fake smile or empty prayers read by the script. When you give yourself as an offering, it points out that you have a deep love and respect for Adonai that has come directly from the heart, since this is a choice and not a law. In the New Testament, the sacrifice and offerings had changed, and is what we continue with today. Instead of having many lambs killed as a holy sacrifice, we have one blood sacrifice, so great that for thousands of years it still makes atonement and restitution for our sins. The sacrifice made in the New Testament had less of an orderly procedure than the Old Testament sacrifices. Instead, Yeshua was mistreated at all moments of the sacrifice. Today, when we present ourselves up to Adonai, there's no schedule to follow by. In the Old Testament sacrifices, there were many physical cleanses, specific prayers said, and precise ceremonies. Now, when we present ourselves as an offering and living sacrifice to Adonai, the cleanses are focused on our soul instead of our body. The prayers we say at times of decided commitment are most often created from the feelings of your heart, and the ceremonies are not performed by sprinkling blood on the altar. This shows how much of a difference there is between the Old and New Testament sacrifices and what we view as a sacrifice today. The purpose of what I have recently told you is to help teach you the first step to become our own burnt offering. The first step being, make yourself a sacrifice. To be a sacrifice holy and presentable to Adonai, we must present ourselves to him with all of our heart, praise, and talents. Just like the burnt offering, we must continually offer ourselves with submission to Adonai. I mentioned that we must also bring our talents and praise to him. When I say bring our talents, I mean this by serving others for him, to show his love, because being helpful to others is also part of the sacrifice. The next step towards becoming an acceptable burnt offering is to light the flame. We have our wood, also known as ourselves, placed on the altar. But now we are just at offering. Remembering that my message is all about a representation, we are not actually going to physically light ourselves on fire. Instead, we want to have the fire of Adonai come upon us, which is the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. In my New Covenant portion, it speaks of this happening in a very extreme way to the early disciples, during the Feast of Shavuot, which is also approaching us soon. I will again read Acts 2:3-4. And tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak in other tongues as the Ruach enabled them to speak out. When we show devotion to Adonai by making ourselves an offering, Adonai will create a holy fire in us that if we maintain, will not go out. In the burnt offering, Aaron and his sons were given the responsibility to maintain the fire all night long. We are responsible for maintaining a holy heart in us and making sure the fire in us is continuously burning for Adonai. We and the fellow brothers and sisters of Yeshua are all like Aaron and his sons, because we all have the responsibility to maintain our fire and encourage each other in this lifelong task. When the spirit of Adonai came upon his disciples, it enabled them to use gifts that they did not even know existed, and the gifts they already used became strengthened. This gave the disciples an opportunity to minister. The Feast of Shavuot begins with the celebration of first fruits, which is offered to Adonai and is meant to help feed the priests. During Shavuot and any time of the year, we should give our first fruits as our talents, whether they came upon you before or after the Holy Spirit came to you. Thinking back to how we are like the priests and that the first fruits were to support the priests, when we offer our talents as a way pleasing to God and as a first fruit, we are helping feed our priests, which is our congregation, in a spiritual way. For example, if you offer your talents of teaching, then you spark the Holy Spirit in the little children. Offer your talents of music and inspire the feeling of Adonai's presence through worship. There are countless ways to use the holy fire that you have been given, but the key is to maintain it. We maintain our fires with unceasing prayer and a solid relationship with Adonai, studying his word. When we do this continually, the fire in us will not go out, just as the fire must not go out for the burnt offering. In summary, to become a living burnt offering, pleasing to Adonai, we must A. present ourselves as a living sacrifice with obedience and love, and B. let His Holy Spirit come upon us. Use the gifts the Holy Spirit has given us as a first fruit, and maintain this holy fire we have been given. I personally want to follow through with these plans, and let Adonai show me His. I know that when you are generous and give with your heart, you will be rewarded. So it makes complete sense to me that if I give to Adonai with a willing heart, great rewards will follow. Thank you all for being here today. I will now be playing the Hatikva, which is an Israeli national anthem, on my clarinet, and after I'll be dancing to You Raise Me Up.
Before we have our own egg and share a few announcements. And this is kind of, the first part of this is addressed to Keisha. You know, you have reached an important milestone in your life, and you're now recognized as a young woman. It's fitting that your parasha is tsav, which means command. And you're a daughter of the commandment. May you be obedient to Adonai's commandments, because in keeping them there is great reward. You know, the Proverbs 6 tells us instructions for sons and for daughters. My daughter, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the Torah is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. My daughter, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my Torah as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, the meaning of your name also means, Keisha means flower. And you are like a young flower, budding, and ready to get, you know, really ready to bloom in life. And you know, a flower gives off a beautiful fragrance. And I can really say this honestly about Keisha, that you have a sweet spirit. And you do have a fragrant aroma. It was a very pleasant experience working with you. You were very polite and very respectful. And you're very diligent in learning and studying your Hebrew. You're somewhat on the quiet side, but you come across as being confident. You know, Isaiah 30 tells us, for it says, "In quietness and confidence is your strength." I was very impressed with your message as well. You know, and I thought, you know, that the depth of your knowledge and your understanding of the subject, you did a really good job, Keisha. And I really, you know, I said, Keisha, did you write this message all by yourself? And she says, I did, but I had some help with my dad, but you did it mostly on your own. So I really appreciate the fact that you took some time and effort to put a good, solid message together. I know that you have two parents who really love you very much and have invested a lot of time and effort in your life. You know, Jasmine homeschooled her children for many years and did an excellent job in teaching them. She instilled in them a love for the Word of God, and they memorized many scriptures. And they all love to read and have developed good study habits and are very diligent. You know, Jasmine was actually once our Shabbat school coordinator, and she worked closely with Jan and had a lot of creative ideas in our children's ministry. But, you know, Keisha, I also see how much your dad loves you, your brother and your sister. You know, he loves spending time with you. He is faithful in bringing you and your brother and sister to Shabbat every week. And he's an excellent example of a loving, patient, and caring father. And Nathan served in our youth as our youth leader for a number of years, and really has a heart for your youth. And so you're blessed to have parents who really love you. As I said, the name of your parasha is Tzav, which is command. And your parasha begins with a command by Adonai to Aaron and his sons to keep the fire on the altar burning continually. It must never go out. This was part of their priestly duty. Keep the fire burning. And unfortunately, in the very next Torah portion, called Shemini, Aaron's two sons disobeyed God's command, and they offered unauthorized fire before Adonai, which he had not commanded, and the fire came out from the presence of Adonai and consumed them both. Tragically, both of Aaron's sons were burned alive and consumed on the altar. Aaron was heartbroken, and he was not even allowed to grieve the loss of his sons. That's really sad. Adonai said, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. And what a tragic experience for Aaron to see his two sons die on the very altar that was intended to glorify Adonai. Proverbs 10:1 says, as Nathan shared, a wise son, a wise daughter makes the father glad. But a foolish one is a grief to his mother. And I see that, I don't see that in your life, Keisha. You know, you were very, you know, very steady, consistent, faithful. And it's great to have a son that or daughter that is not rebellious. You don't have to go to that rebellious stage. It's really a blessing. We had that with our son Joel. He never went through any of that. It's really a blessing to have a son or daughter who never causes thee any trouble. They just are there. Be faithful and loving. The Lord said, obedience is better than sacrifice. The Lord wants his people to obey him and not show an outward form of religiosity. But it begins in the home. We need to be a good example to our children as husbands and wives, as mothers and fathers. Our responsibility is to protect them, you know, to love them, to guide them, instruct them in the way that they should go. You know, I often say they're like young, tender plants. And our role is to root them. Our role as parents is to root our children in the ground, a good soil, and in the ground of obedience, so that when they're older, they'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy and whatever may come against them, that you'll be able to stand strong. You know, over the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about the importance of counting the cost of following Yeshua. We're in the 27th day of the fourth week of the counting of the Omar. And I shared from Luke 14 a couple of weeks ago the importance of counting the cost. Whoever does not carry his own cross and follow after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's begun to build and is not able to finish, all who see him ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. When we're building a home, Adonai wants to finish what we start. But we need to first count the cost so that we will be able to finish. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. Now, there's a tremendous cost in raising a family. As we know, financially, it costs a lot of money. But there's also a cost in sacrifice, in disappointment, in frustration, having to deal with rebelliousness when it does come. It's not easy being a parent. In Keisha, there's 23 days before Shavuot. We're getting closer to this feast. It was on the day of Shavuot that the 120 of Yeshua's disciples were gathered together, praying, anticipating the promise of the Father. And suddenly, at God's appointed time, there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind that filled the whole house where they were sitting. And the fire of the Lord came, and literal flames, like tongues of fire, appeared and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in the tongues of the nations. Full-blown revival broke out. And these 120 were like flaming torches who went out in the streets of Jerusalem proclaiming the wonderful works of God. The fire of God was burning in their hearts, and it never stopped. They were created anew and had a passion and a zeal for God that they had never experienced. And Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and said, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and hear my words. What you see have seen today was spoken by Joel the prophet. And let me just read a portion of that again. Acts 2:17 that Jasmine read. It shall be in the last days, says Adonai, that I will pour out my ruach on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, my male and female, I will pour out my ruach, my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will give wonders in the sky above, and the signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoky vapor. The sun will be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of Adonai comes. It shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Adonai shall be saved. Most of us believe that we're living in the last of the last days. This prophecy is yet to be fulfilled in its fullness. And one part of the prophecy I want to address is to our sons and daughters. Joel said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Joel prophesied that in the last days, our sons and daughters will be filled with the Spirit. And they'll prophesy and they'll see visions. There's a time coming in these last days that our sons and daughters will experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the likes of what has not been seen in all of history. You know, Adonai has a special plan for this young, emerging generation. And if the Lord is coming soon, then this means that the children who we pray and we bless every week may very well be prophesying and seeing visions and being used by God in a way that we as parents could never imagine. Stop and think about that for a moment. If we're that close to the time of the end, then you know, God can very well use our sons and daughters in a way that we've never known possible. Many of us who are older shall dream dreams. Hopefully it'll be sweet dreams. But probably not. They'll be prophetic, I'm sure. But we may be the generation that Joel spoke of who will witness these signs and these wonders in the heavens and on the earth. And we'll witness the greatest outpouring of the Spirit that the world has ever seen. And we'll witness the greatest spiritual harvest the world has ever seen. There's a scripture in Isaiah 62. It's a prophecy about Israel and Adonai's promise to his people. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation like a flaming torch. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory. Now may this be a prayer for our children and our young people, that their lives will be like flaming torches, filled and empowered with the Spirit of God. You know, so when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I talked as a child, but now I put my childish ways, ways aside. And these young people that I believe we have in our congregation, I believe that God has given us some really wonderful young people who really are gifted, who are really talented, who really have a heart for God. And I believe that God wants to use our young people in this congregation. And we need to keep the Spirit of God, fire of God burning in our lives. Because Shavuot is all about the promise of the Spirit. You know, the fire of God fell on Shavuot, and they were filled with passion, with zeal, and power that literally consumed their lives. And I pray this will be our experience. And I just want to close with some references to the fire of God in the Scriptures and how God is a consuming fire. That's what Shavuot is about, fire. And I don't believe it was a coincidence that, Jasmine's Torah portion, I believe it was prophetic, that it was about the burnt offering. I mean, okay. Acacia, that's right. Acacia is prophetic, your Torah portion. And the timing of your bat mitzvah just before, Shavuot. But Hebrews 12 tells us that God is a consuming fire. Moses met the presence of Adonai. His first encounter with Adonai was at a burning bush. A fire that was burning, but did not consume the bush. The people of Israel experienced the presence of Adonai at Mount Sinai when fire came down from heaven upon the mountain and the smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The Feast of Shavuot is about the giving of the Torah, giving of the law, that God literally burnt in the hearts of his people. Elijah the prophet called down the fire of God as he challenged Baal worshippers. And he said, the God who answers by fire, he is God. And let me just read a portion from that in 1 Kings. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. When Solomon dedicated the temple, fire fell from heaven and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Daniel's vision of the Ancient of Days had God's throne as a fiery flame and a river of fire that came out from it. And it tells us in Daniel 7, I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as wool and the hair of his head was pure like wool. His throne was a fiery flame and his wheels a burning fire. So my prayer is that the fire revival will visit us and our young people. May we be a congregation whose fire does not burn out. There's a difference between burning out when we do things in the flesh and burning for our zeal for the Lord. I pray that we will not be a lukewarm congregation, but one that is filled with fire of the Spirit, so that our children will see the passion and the zeal and the love of God for us, and it will ignite a fire in their hearts, so they will become flames and torches, so that Adonai can use them in a mighty way. Don't underestimate what God can do with our children. God does take the foolish things of the world and he confounds the wise. So, Keisha, I really believe that God wants to use you, you know, as one young person in this generation, that God has a plan and purpose for your life. And may Adonai use you to ignite other young people to get excited about Adonai. Your faithfulness, your commitment, your solid walk with God, may that be an example to others. And may we as a people of God, we truly seek God's face. So let's just close our time in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we can celebrate together Lord Kish's bat mitzvah. This young person, Father, who has gone through this rite of passage or is entering into it, Lord God, that you have so much plan and purpose for her. Lord, she has a bright future ahead as she stays on course. Lord, as she takes hold of instruction and not let go, as she protects her heart, Father, from the things that will come against her, that she would stand strong. And she would be willing to stand alone at times when she needs to not compromise because some of her friends may choose to want her to go a certain way, that she would resist that temptation and she will do what is right. And she'll make those wise choices that will lead to blessing. So God, we just pray for your special blessing upon her and her family. And upon every family that's represented here. For every single parent, Father, for every mother and father, Lord, who is laboring so hard to be the kind of father and mother that we need to be for our children, for our grandchildren, for those children who are growing up, you know, Lord God, who may not be walking according to your purposes, but Lord, we know that your word says if we train them up, Lord, they will not depart when they get older. Father, we pray you bring back the prodigals. Bring back the prodigals, we pray. And God, give them a visitation of your Spirit so they would seek your face. They would repent of their sin. They would acknowledge you. And we pray, God, for your blessing to be upon every family here today. And especially on this family today as we honor them and celebrate this special time, you know, for Acacia. In Yeshua's name, we commit this time to you. Amen. Amen.